Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. We are so happy to have you here this evening as we continue our conversation on the letter of the law. We are so looking forward to your participation and hearing from you what things you took away, what scriptures you want to share, and what the letter of the law, what impact the call this week had for you. So let's go ahead and get started as we hand the call over to our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Tiana, and I thank everybody for being here once again as we talk about the topic of the week, the letter of the law, man's law versus God's law. All right. So this is our learning center. Okay. So whatever has piqued your interest, something that, you know, God placed in your heart, please do share. If you have a problem with speaking on the phone, just by all means, go ahead and send a text, 504-231-7849. Again, it's 504-231-7849. Give me your questions. Give me your comments. Give me whatever God has placed on your heart. I will keep your name discreet between you and I, and I'll reveal it, and we'll answer some questions or whatever else you have. Okay? So let's make sure we get that. All right, so let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get started. So bow your heads, close your eyes, and open up your hearts. Father God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Father God, for the very fact that you opened our eyes this morning, Father God, and started us on our way, Father. Father God, we thank you for not exempting us from the God, from your judgment, Father God. That holds us accountable, Father God, for being called Christians, children of the Most High. And we thank you, Father God, for giving us the burden, Father God, the responsibility, Father God, for giving us the function of love. We have to own it, Father, as we walk in this day and age, Father God. We have to own it. Father God, there's rules and regulations in your house. You said in the Bible that you have given us, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You mean it, Father. You mean it. And if we are to enter into heaven, we have to abide by your laws. You said, let it be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Father God, give us the wisdom, the knowledge, Father God, the wherewithal. Give it to us, Father God, the urge, the zest, the zeal, Father God. Give it to us, the desires to do it your way, according to your laws, not our own. Father God, we cannot write perfect. We cannot rewrite perfection. Only you have the ability to do that, and you've already done it. Father God, you have given us great ability, Father God, and you have given us uncanny ability to follow you. Father God, let us make the right decision as we pursue you wholeheartedly. Let us weigh aside all those things that's been dragging us down, Father God, from pursuing your law. Let us hold tight to your law, Father God, because your law is the ultimate judgment. We thank you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Let everyone say amen.
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 So let's go ahead and get started. Ms. Tiana, Ms. Latonya.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Carr. Good evening, everyone. We're so happy to be here and to share with you again, the letter of the law. And we ask that everyone who's on the call, you have anything to share that you took away from this week. If it's a scripture, something that moved in spirit, that moved inside you regarding this topic, please press *5. That's *5 so that we can share it with you. All right. And let's go ahead and start with our first caller, Ms. Latonya, if that's all right with you.
Yes, I actually wanted to just kick us off by sharing a scripture that comes from Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22, and it states, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. It is he who will save us." And I think that just solidifies everything that we've talked about concerning the letter of the law, because it's telling us here that the Lord is our lawgiver. So if our rights and our laws come from God, then it's basically saying that man cannot take away our rights or even pretend that his authority supersedes that of God. So I just think that's so important, that scripture, as all of them are, but it just goes right in line with what we've been talking about, and also how just we've all heard it, that we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And also, just we have to respect our authorities and the laws that are made, but we also have to remember that everything that we do has to line up with God's law. So that's the important thing here. So I just wanted to share that as we, you know, begin to hear from our callers tonight.
Yeah, amen. It does have to line up with God's law. And it's even our focus day in and day out. One of the things that God tells us is to give Caesar Caesar. But at the same time, we're not to break away from our moral compass. If it goes against what God calls us to do, we need to be following God first. And,
right.
Oh, that's just absolutely so amazing. But we do have our first caller who has chimed in, so let's go to them and before we continue. Good evening, caller. Thank you for calling in. What's your question, comment, scripture to share this evening?
Hello. Good evening, everyone. I wanted to share a scripture that I found this week and also just briefly say a little something about it. The scripture is from Isaiah 29 and 13. It says, "The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught." And I wanted to share that one because when we're talking about the letter of the law, a lot of times we understand specifically what it says. We know what the law requires, but we don't think about the spirit in which it was given. And this is especially true with God's laws. God's laws were not meant to condemn us, but really to bring us into one with him, into a better relationship with him. So as we are, I want to say, acting out the laws, or as we are living based on those laws, we have to remember the spirit of the law and not always say, okay, well, it says this, and so I'm going to enact this. No, it does say that, but what did God mean when he enacted this law? What is the spirit behind it? And we always have to think about that because there's a whole lot of difference between what something strictly says and then the spirit in which that God gave it. So, again, that was Isaiah 29 and 13, and that's what I wanted to share tonight.
Thank you so much, Ms. Candy. We truly appreciate that. And, man, that is so critical. And that's the emphasis behind some of what I prepared tonight. God has done, all he did was lay out, let's begin. He began with the Ten Commandments. He laid those out as instructions, rules for us to live by. And they were taken as an opportunity to more, these are the things that we're supposed to do to have a prosperous life now and in the thereafter. But it wasn't taken as these are the things that we're to do to show God's love. And the spirit behind it was completely lost because we had so many of our religious leaders creating more laws on top of that, in which they believed were the things to fulfill on what they believed God was trying to say and not living out that basic emphasis of love. That's all that he called us to do. Right? He called, I look at it and I had a little chuckle this weekend myself on what God was just trying to do. I was taken to John 1 and 7. John 1 and 7 says, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and mercy was given through Jesus Christ." And before I share my chuckle, we just, you know, just go back to a little of that history. God himself gave us, you know, the commandments on them tablets. They were broken by Moses. Moses had to rewrite them. But God was exact in what he wanted us to do. They were set in place so that everyone can meet the needs of each individual in a loving and responsible way. But later, Jesus clearly restated the jux of the law. What was the law when he was asked by a lawyer? I don't know if people realize he was actually asked by a lawyer. And back then, that was actually a religious leader who was classified as an expert of religious law, what the greatest commandment was in the law. And that's when Jesus said to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, right? And on these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets, which means that truly, if we love God and our neighbor, all the other laws will come naturally. They'll be easy to do. Because if you do those things, there's no way that you would do what is considered wrong. Unfortunately, we rather worry about the things we should not do instead of doing the things we're supposed to do, which is love him.
That was something that really stood out and came to the forefront for me this week. And that chuckle came when I just realized that all those laws, everything was given, God then had to, people weren't living up to what they were supposed to be doing. They weren't fulfilling on his expectations of just showing love, living love, that he had all those rules and consequences that followed, right? Which were offerings and sacrifices that had to be done if you sinned. Well, the chuckle came is when I realized, yes, God sent Jesus to save us, but he also had to send them to save the animals before they became extinct, because the animal mm-hmm. was used as a substitute, right? So anytime someone sinned, they had to sacrifice the animal over and over and over again for the forgiveness of sin. At the rate we were going as a people, all the animals would end up being extinct at that point. So
right.
That was my little chuckle this week. What else did you receive
right.
this week, Ms. LaDonia? Before you go, anybody, star five, please, star five, any questions, comments, scriptures that you want to share. Go ahead, Ms. LaDonia. What else did you receive this week?
Well, I wanted to share just a little bit of a testimony from a relative who I had the chance to meet with after a couple of years, and I learned that as we started talking about, you know, the laws that we have, the laws that we're governed by, and he was sharing that, you know, he had been incarcerated, but, you know, he had a revelation. He said God spoke to him. That was a time where, you know, God used that situation to actually elevate him, to bring him closer to him. And he said, you know, since then he has, you know, he had got out, he got his degree, he now has a full-time job, but he said, you know, it took me to disobey God's law, not follow his law at all, to be in a place where he could reach me personally, one-on-one. And he was able to share with me also that he's now mentoring some young boys and young men who are going down the same path that he went down. So he's just, you know, enforcing in their lives how important it is that, you know, we follow God's laws, and how important it is that, you know, they stay on that straight and narrow, because if not, and they start to conform to man's laws, then, you know, this is what could happen. And, you know, he said his goal, his objective is that he can lead all of these young boys and young men to Christ. And I just thought that was so profound, because his mindset before being incarcerated was just totally different. So once he became in that close, intimate relationship with God, everything changed. And he said, no matter what anybody says, it's God's way or no way.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I could relate to that, because we were taught that some time ago. And just having that visual, but just this past week, you know, so much has come up as we've been talking about it, and just getting that new perspective on how God's law supersedes any and every other law that there is. So that was one of the things that I thought was so profound this past week, was just sharing in that conversation with him, but also hearing his testimony.
Yeah. That is awesome. And we climb mountains on the daily, right? They're put in front of us, and to see how we walk through them. And we find him on that path. If we're not with him, we find him on that path. He puts us on these journeys so that we can seek him. And it's just awesome to hear that testimony and hear that from that situation. It wasn't something, oh, my goodness, I can't get up. It was, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do better so that I can show God in my actions. That's just awesome. And to impact
right.
the kids, absolutely amazing. And it looks like we have a caller that has something to share. Hold on a second. Good evening, caller. Please share your statement, your testimony, your scripture for this evening.
Good evening. It's me, Brandy. And I have a couple things I want to share. I have a scripture, Joshua 1:8-9, and it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And this has been a testing and trying past weekend, even today, for me and my family. And it was really wonderful that this topic was going on last weekend. We're talking about tonight because I had to check myself and look into my life and see where I was accepting things that I wouldn't do, but allowing other people to do that in my home, and because it was a family member. And just trying to figure out how to deal with that. And so through conversations and seeking God and knowing that everything is in His will and not Brandy's will or not the family's will, is what God wants to do and needs to do to make things change, I had to accept that I had to let go and not be able to have control of all the situations. So this is a very moving topic for me, and it was right on time. And just know that anybody going through anything, just stay encouraged and know that God is always there and always there to guide you through. So that's all I have.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Brandy. And that's extremely, one, awesome scripture, absolutely amazing scripture, and two, powerful testimony that you're talking about. How do there's situations that are present in front of me, even as you said, in your household, how do we seek God and allow Him to correct those ways? How do we seek Him to allow Him to transform the situation so that the surroundings are fulfilling on what He calls to do? That's absolutely, absolutely amazing. And that's one of the areas that hit me, is sometimes, do we really understand the law that is present right in front of us? Do we understand the law that He gives us, but also that we're living in? Last night we talked quite a bit about, you know, of course, natural versus God's law, and what's put in place from, I think Mr. DJ brought up, from state to state, how those things are different. And it took me back to when I transitioned from the Northeast to the Northwest. In the Northeast, growing up there, that's where I learned how to drive. So I had an offensive teacher and I had a defensive teacher. If anyone's ever driven in New York, you know it's good to have both, because that's just the way you drive. It is, you are quick, you're on it, you're cutting, it's a special kind of driving that serves well for that environment. But when I first moved to the Northwest, I had what I knew as driving laws, et cetera, in the Northeast. That's what I had in me. So when I got there, literally within the first, I think, 6 weeks to eight weeks, I literally got 3 moving violation tickets, and my insurance dropped me. Why? Because I was driving like I was in New York. I wasn't driving like those in the Northwest, and I learned quickly what their law was. And it was some simple things that was my everyday. It was, for example, in New York, you honk for everything. Your hand lives on the horn, except at the Holland Tunnel, where it literally says no honking, violation, $250 if they catch you honking. In the little city that I worked in Corvallis, Oregon, it was an ordinance that no honking was allowed in that city unless it was literally a life
endangerment.
Yeah.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for that, Ms. Tiana. Thank you all. Let me rearrange this right quick. The letter of the law, okay, the learning center now, man's law versus God's law. I want everybody to understand one thing to take away with you as you jot down on your notes. Man's law cannot make moral what God's law has declared immoral. Bottom line. Your opinions, your emotions, your declarations cannot call something moral what God has declared as immoral. As a matter of fact, Ms. Candy, come back online for me right quick. I'm going to show y'all something. Because we need to understand as we close out the week on man's law versus God's law, this is the reality of what we face every day. Tell us about the little story real quickly, Ms. Candy, about an incident that you had, you know, speaking with a friend versus, you know, their father versus what they were doing. What happened? Explain real quickly.
Okay. My friend's father is the pastor of a church, and he's been married 5 times. In each of his marriages, he committed adultery. And my friend was having a difficult time. She said she cannot receive from him. She doesn't understand how people are able to go to his church and receive from him because of the public things that he's done. And I said to her, well, what about the things that you do, like the cursing and all of these other things that you do that maybe everyone doesn't see, but it's still a sin the same way? And I told her that the same way that you want grace and mercy to cover you when you curse, grace and mercy has to also be extended to him with the things that he's doing. And as we were talking about it, she said she didn't understand how he couldn't just pray and ask God to take this thing away from him because he knew the word, he understands the word, he's preaching the word. And I told her, it's the same way for you. You can pray if you want to and ask God to take cursing away from you. But you don't. You want to be covered by grace and mercy. And I told her she had to be very careful because we want it, but we don't want to extend it in the same way. We want to hold on to things, but we want someone else to let something go. So that's pretty much what happened in a nutshell. And we were able to talk about grace and mercy and how, you know, yes, he is breaking one of God's laws by committing adultery, but we break God's laws when we curse, and we want someone to cover us. We want God to be able to welcome us back in and forgive, but we don't want to welcome other people back in. We just want to beat them up with the law and kind of push them out of the circle instead of embracing them in the same way that we want to be embraced.
Okay. Now, that's a rule of thumb, and that's something that we need to mark for a quick second in your minds. That's something that we all experience, right? Some way, shape, or form, or another. Some of us have a problem with our fathers. They hadn't been there. Some of us with our mothers. They haven't been there. Some of us with our friends, sisters, brother, uncles, aunt. But we never have a problem so much with ourselves. And then even when we do have a problem with ourselves, we beat ourselves up to a pulp. And God say, lift up, because you are going by your own declared law and not his.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Very important that we go ahead and understand as we close out the week, the letter of the law is not just the good for you and the bad for everybody else. Okay? Her father openly, 5 marriages, cheated on all 5 of them. Right? How many people have you disappointed, did something wrong to, that's secretly not known? The young lady said, but he knows the word. But the thing is, whether you know the word or don't know the word, will the judgment be the same?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the same judgment. Whether you know the speed limit or you don't know the speed limit, the police officer will stop you regardless.
Yep.
So if the natural law will stop you regardless because you broke it, why wouldn't the spiritual law stop you? Hence, God created scripture that was inspired by him that says, judge and you will be judged, forgive and you will be forgiven. But our law said, I can't forgive somebody because of personal implications.
Yes, sir.
So we become a God of our own. We write our own laws. Now, this is important as we talk about the letter of the law, simply because the Bible says, place no God, other gods before me. Now, how do you know you're placing another God before God? Simple. Whose rules are you following?
Right.
Amen.
So this is the moment everybody get quiet. Whose rules are you following? That's who you're placing first. Are you following your own rules? Did you not know that you can create yourself to be your own God?
Yes, sir.
You are your master. That means you are your God. The Bible that I read says, this life that I have is not my own. That means I don't walk by my tune. I don't think the way I want to think. I lean not to my own understanding. But to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, the word of God became life. It's written. His law is written. And it should become life to us, those who receive it. In other words, we'll start following his law and not our law. We'll start forgiving people as opposed to holding grudges. Now watch this. You don't know the person you dated, the person you like, the person you're friends with right now, the job, the last job. You don't know their history. And you technically don't even care because you fill in the place, right? Even with your job. You're making $90,000 a year, right? You don't care why they fired the last person, even if they was wrong, do you?
Amen.
Well,
do you? See, I'm saying that for a reason. See how you rewrite your laws? Because if you knew the job fired them for something they didn't do, would you still work there? Of course you probably would. See, this is how God feels about her father. You judging him. He's still my child, and I love him. But hold on. Before you judge him, why don't you look at the mirror and look at yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What all have you done wrong? Don't rewrite my laws. Because when you rewrite my laws, I'm going to warn you, give you a warning, and say anything that tries to exalt itself up against me, my law. In other words, when you try and come up against me, cast it down. And if you don't cast it down, you're placing yourself above me. And the last person that tried to put themselves above my law, I cast them down.
Yes, sir.
Did y'all understand this?
Hmm. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Human Declaration has declared that we choose to worship created things rather than the Creator. That's our law. You have friends to this day because of what they have, not because of who they are. Boy, I know I'm telling on us. It's the truth. Because we rewrite out all law books. Our law book said our friends have to be at least on the same level as us, if not greater. Our law book says they got to be able to give us something. They have to be able to bless us or speak into us. But when do you speak, do the speaking into? God's law says pour into others. Your law says they need to pour into me. God's law says esteem others higher than yourself. Your law says I need to be above them. They need to respect me. God's law says it's better to give. Your law says it's better to receive. And if I do give, I want everybody to see it and know it.
Amen.
This is a learning center, y'all.
Yes.
Y'all understand that? Do you not understand that even when it comes, boils down to your opinions? We're about to get ready to close this out now. When it boils down to your opinions about God's law, do you not understand that your opinion, my opinion, Candace, Tiana, Latanya, Chiron, anybody's opinion cannot change God's law? Because it's a reality. People are talking about, well, keep it real. This is my reality. Your reality and God's reality are two different things. Hence, the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Anybody with your opinions, you know how we be talking about, well, you're entitled to your own opinion. In the natural man's court of law, do you think your opinions will change what the judge is about to say?
Nope.
When you stand before the judge, will your opinion about their law change? anything that he's about to render, or she's about to render. Really?
Nope.
With that being said, if that doesn't work in the natural courtroom, Ms. LaTanya, what makes us think this is going to work in the spiritual, heavenly courtroom? You might not like the fact that you got to forgive your daddy, but your opinion don't matter. Because according to God's law, he said, if I forgave you, see, this is where it gets good. See, there are such things as rules, there are such things as expectations, then there's a such thing called requirements. See, God expects us while we're here on earth, just like we should expect from God. God says rules for us while we're here on earth. It's like, you know what I'm saying? We think we said mandating rules for God. But watch this. When you stand before God in judgment, heaven, where you're trying to go, where we're trying to go, is solely based on requirements. That's the only way you can get there. See, so God has skipped over the rule part. He has skipped over the expectation part. Now we're into the land of requirements when it comes to his law. In other words, if you want to see heaven, there are some things called requirements.
Amen.
Because, see, you can expect anything from anybody, and they can disappoint you. But, see, with requirements, that means if you don't fit the suit, if you don't fit the bill, if you don't fit the character, the mold, and everything else, you can go ahead about your business. Depart from me, I never knew you. You know why? Because somebody didn't fit my requirements, my law. Remember, God said he is the fulfillment of the law. In other words, for God to be the fulfillment of the law and God resides on the inside of you, you, my friend, should be fulfilling the law. In other words, you should be holding on to it. People should know the Bible by looking at you. Uh-oh. If somebody say they don't read the Bible, you're not doing your job. Because the Bible, we are the Bible, we are read of men daily. That means if somebody don't know God, it's because of you not doing your job, my friend.
Yes, Lord.
Y'all want me to break it down? The letter of the law. The only reason why we know who God is because Jesus walked. You can't tell me they didn't see God every time Jesus moved. And then God told us to do better works than he did, greater works than he did. But Jesus followed and obeyed God's law. Are we? His power came because he rendered himself as weakling, weak, weak. Use me, God. Well, we don't want to be weak, Miss Candy. Miss Tiana, we don't want nothing to be above us. We don't want to be submissive, Miss Tiana.
Yes, sir.
So if we can't be none less, how can we even follow God's law?
Right.
For me to be independent. Baby. If you were so independent, you wouldn't need mom and daddy to birth you. As a matter of fact, it wasn't them that gave you birth. It was God that, you know, caused you to come on through that canal.
Yes, indeed.
If you was independent, take away the car because God created it. See, you worship the car more than you do the creator because of your law. If you was independent, take away the apartment or the house. If you was independent, take it away the money and the job. Take away it all, independent, and create your own earth. Let me see. See, now we start to come back to reality because then we start to, you know, well, I ain't mean it that way. Yes, you did. The letter of the law. Everybody stand? Got me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We wholeheartedly see the evidence of God, and we're about to close. We see the evidence of God through his creation. But oftentimes we push the truth away simply because it's inconvenient. Don't this sound about right?
Yes, sir. It does.
Huh? It's inconvenient to follow and believe in God during the Essence Fest. True?
Come on.
It's inconvenient to follow God and believe in God during the things that we shouldn't be doing. True?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
we justify our behaviors. In other words, we have opinions against God's law. Your opinions, my opinions, cause us to push God's law to the side and live our life the way we want to do it, freely. Simply because what does God's law do? It imposes something on us called accountability and responsibility. That's what it does. And we don't want to be accountable for nothing. Yeah, Kent, I know I told you I was going to call you back, but golly, you don't have to rub it in. We don't want nobody to tell us nothing, yet alone God. That's why we don't read the Bible. It's not that we don't want to study, we just don't want to be held accountable.
Come on.
Don't you really think that you're not reading the Bible and that's going to hold you accountable? Let me tell you something, you don't have to study in school. You still held accountable on that test. Do you not know that? You still gonna get the same test that everybody else got. And unlike that teacher, mom and daddy, y'all can't step in for the teacher to change the grade.
Right. Oh, yes.
You can't cook this teacher apple pie. You can't be friends with this teacher.
Yes, indeed.
The letter of the law. God has a law that we have to abide.
Yes, sir.
When you say you believe in God, when we say we believe in God, when all of us live the life that we believe in God because we verbally say it, we verbally commit to it, but that means you also believe in His Word. And when you believe in His Word, that means you also believe in His law. Because His Word is the law.
Right.
Right? And you know what His law does, Miss Brandy? His law gives us something called moral duty, responsibility. But you know, the problem is, Miss Candy, many of us don't want to hold that thing of moral duty up because we think that being morally responsible now is a burden, and now we look like a square. In other words, we're no longer cool to the world. So it cramps our lifestyle. Boy, it cramps our lifestyle. That's why you think so many quote-unquote Christians quote-unquote socially drink and then quote-unquote make their own law because of their quote-unquote opinion.
Yeah.
And then we'll say, but God turned water into wine. But do you not understand it's not the wine to be drinking and getting drunk off of? If you need wine to calm your nerves, that means you don't need God.
Come on. Amen.
Come on, take notes if you want.
Okay, first.
See, we try and rewrite God's law. And how do we know this? Look at your lifestyle. What do you do that you think that is okay that the Bible clearly said it's not? Much of which we don't even know. You know why? Because we refuse to open the Bible. Because we don't want to be torn down. But God has to tear down so we can build up. Don't, ain't that what you do in building?
Yeah.
So we want God to build us up and our foundation is jacked up. What you think will happen to the building?
It's going to tumble.
So the most important part of the house is, Ms. LaTonya?
The foundation.
Foundation. Did y'all not know that?
Yes, sir.
The foundation.
Yes.
Very important. Creates stability. It creates a subservient, you know, you become stout, submissive to God, meaning you start to follow His law because you, are founded on that solid rock that the Bible talks about, that this church be built upon that rock. You know the rock he's talking about? The Word of God. You know the Word of God he's talking about? The law of God. You know what the law of God he's talking about? It's one that would never crack. Remember, it's uncompromising. And y'all know an uncompromising person, that means they are stout, and what they say goes, and they mean that.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
So you can go ahead and do your social drinking and get mad at Mr. Carr because I got sin too. But I'm going to tell you, mine and yours got to be judged.
Yes.
That does not exempt you. Talking about he crazy. Okay. That's cool. I got to be judged by the same law.
Amen.
You're doing it because it's convenient. But you can't tell me you'll do that before God. And if you did, you know that would be totally disrespectful, and you really don't care who he is.
Come on.
Because if what you're doing doesn't bring God's law, if what you're doing does not bring God, okay, if what you're doing don't bring God glory, that means you're sinning.
Ooh.
If it doesn't glorify God, in other words, make him happy, smile, that means we're sinning. Anything that lacks faith, the Bible declares as sin. If it's not done in faith, do you not understand it's done in sin?
Mm-hmm.
There ain't no fine line. That's just a drawn, it's sin or faith, period. If it's not done in other words, Candy, either I like you or I don't. Ain't no in between. Y'all think that lukewarm stuff can work, but y'all know what lukewarm gets you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man's law versus God's law. I hope we learned something tonight.
Absolutely.
Mr. Tanya, go ahead and pray for us, please.
Actually, Mr. Carr, we had one caller there. Hello. Good evening, caller. Please go ahead and share what you had this evening.
Good evening, everyone. Real quick, this is Mr. DJ. I just had two quick points, and they were basically piggyback off what everybody said. Man's law versus God's law. Man's law. It enforces the opinionated authority of man. God's law enforces his undisputed power. And what I mean by that, real quick, in Georgia, there was a law about the death penalty. And a housewife who was married to a police officer was being beaten bad. This was several years ago, almost 40 years ago. And this police officer would come home and basically abuse his wife. And she got tired of it one day, and she picked up something and knocked him out, and it killed him. And, of course, they took her to jail. Self-defense was in there, but she committed a murder, and on law, she killed a police officer. So she got sentenced to death, and she had to do 10 years, and then they decide to put her in the electric chair by lethal injection. Well, mind you, 10 years came, and they gave her a last meal and all of this good stuff and put her in an electric chair, and they did not kill her because she was sick. There's also a law that says you cannot execute an inmate that's sick. So she became ill. She became so ill that she could barely keep her eyes open, but the execution stayed. And it got delayed for another 5 years. Then she appealed, and they tacked on another 10 to that. But finally, she's back here at the electric chair again. Got the electric chair again. They took her temperature. The fever was too high. She did not get executed then. This went on 5 times. Until last year, finally, they was about to bring her back to the electric chair. And the night before bringing her to the electric chair, she died in her sleep. What am I saying? Authority. Man has the authority to put you in jail, and he may even sentence you to death, but God has the power over life and death. You go when he say go. That's what power is. There's a difference between authority and power. And I always tell this, and I'm through. I was trying to go on a vacation, and I needed more credit. I didn't need more credit. I wanted more credit. And I felt like I had been running my business for so long, I thought that I deserved credit. I applied for it and got turned down several times. This time, I went into the bank. I go on the ground floor of the bank and ask them about extending me some credit, and they told me no. I said, where's your boss? And they pointed to a little cubicle over there, and I went to that cubicle, and I asked them about extending the credit, and they said no. Finally, I asked that person, where's your boss? And they told me that's going to be on the third floor. I get to the third floor, and I sit and wait because I didn't have an appointment, and I asked them about credit, extending my credit, and they said no. I said, well, where's your boss? And when they said the head of the bank office is upstairs, but you can't go up there without an appointment, I did something ungodly. I got on the elevator and I went up there anyway. And by the time I had gotten up there, the head of that bank knew my father. Not only did he know my father, he had gotten a history on what I was trying to do upstairs. And he said, come on in, Mr. Arnold. I didn't even have to introduce myself. And he could tell I was mad. He said, we are getting you a new card, and it will be ready in an hour. That's power. What am I trying to tell you? The higher you seek that authority, you will find out who really has the power, and that's God. That's all I want to say.
Good deal, good deal. Thanks for that. All right, Ms. Latonya.
Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you on tonight to say thank you, dear Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be together once again in fellowship, dear God. We thank you for allowing us to receive your word in the manner in which you would have us to receive. We thank you for all bodies that are present, dear Lord. We ask that you will continue to cover us with your grace, with your mercy. Lord God, help us to remain diligent in our efforts to please you, Lord God. Help us to stand firm and to stand bold in our faith. We ask that you will allow us to continue to be a blessing to all who you place in our path. Dear Lord, we thank you for our leader who continues to lead and guide so fervently. We thank you, Lord God. We love you. We pray and ask all these things in the precious name of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great
Amen.
Night. And we will see y'all on Wednesday.
Good night.
Good night.